Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, a podcast where authors and friends share all aspects of the Catholic faith. Learn more on reconciledtoyou.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, a podcast about living your Catholic life in the everyday, ordinary moments of your day. We are joined today by a very good friend of mine, Deanna Bartolini. You may recognize her name because I was blessed to have her part of the Stay Connected Journals for Catholic Women from our Sunday visitor. She wrote The Fruits of the Spirit study, and it's so good. I really love it. It's the green one, in case you're like, whoa, which one is that? It's the green one. Deanna, welcome to A Seeking Heart.
It's the green one. I've written the green book.
People will ask me that, which color books are yours? Mine are blue and peach. Anyway, so it's good to have you with us. And I love those books are still doing really well. And I'm so encouraged that women are still finding them and studying with them, because they are a real labor of love and a great way to grow connected to God and to each other. But today we're having you here because you contributed to a new book edited by John Roberto, Digital Ministry and Leadership in Today's Church with Liturgical Press. So before we jump into the book, which obviously this is something I'm very interested in since I've made it kind of my world, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, a little bit about myself. So I am a Catholic mom and a grandmother and a wife, and I should have put that first. Oh, well, nonetheless, I am a spiritual director. I am a writer and a content creator. I also, one of the exciting things that I'm doing besides promoting this great new book is I'm relaunching with Lisa Maladnik, the amazingcatechist.com website. So if you are a catechist or a director of religious education or a homeschooling parent, be sure to check out that website as well, amazingcatechist.com.
And we'll have that link in the show notes, of course.
Great. And yeah, so that's it. What else do you want to know?
We also share in common that we're both deacons' wives, which is a fun little club to be in.
It's some days yes, some days no, but yes, usually it is, yes.
How long has your husband been a deacon?
Seven years.
Well, I can't really say my husband is a baby deacon anymore, because I think we're coming on 4 years in May. But it's a beautiful calling, not just for the man, but for his spouse and his family as well. And I really enjoy it. Also, I think they understand when we kind of take on all these roles in ministry that we share this heart for serving the Lord. They're ordained to serve, which I tell my husband that all the time, especially when I want a cup of coffee. You are ordained to serve. Please go get me. It's not exactly what it means, but I work on that. I just play it. Like, I have that right.
I haven't tried that. I have to consider that now.
Yeah, sometimes it works, and sometimes I get the hairy eyebrow, like, yeah, not happening. But some days he just laughs and goes, gets me a cup of coffee. Probably because he just knows I need it and I need to be quiet. So he's just going to help with that. So today we're going to look a little deeper in this new book, out again, edited by John Roberto, Digital Ministry and Leadership in Today's Church. So first give us an overall synopsis of the book, okay, and then I would like to know more about your specific chapter.
So the book was written by a group of people, six contributors, and each of us, we came together because of a person, which is often the case, and it was through Digital Discipleship Network, which was founded by Sister Caroline Cervini, who died 2.5 years ago, approximately, and she put together this network of people who wanted to share how to use digital tools and social media with ministers, parish ministers, nonprofit organizations, you know, people who are not selling something, but rather encouraging people to be together and to learn in different ways. And I started working with the group in 2014. And after Sister Caroline died, we wanted very much, we had talked before she died with her about pulling together a book and a new website and different things. But after she died, we decided that as a tribute to her, we were going to pull together this book. And that is what we did.
Because that's so sweet.
It is. And just as an aside, but also something important to know, the proceeds from this book are not coming to any of the contributors, but rather they are all going to the NCCL, which is the National Community of Catechetical Leaders, and to use it specifically for people who are working in the digital virtual world. So we're hoping to, you know, really help people learn what it means to use digital tools and technology.
That's
fantastic. Not going away.
No, it's kind of here to stay. And I think that, you know, the pandemic definitely showed us how important it is that we have at least some of our efforts put to the digital world. That pivot was easier for some places that were already kind of in the virtual space in one way or another. And I think that it is a wonderful harvest, like a vineyard that's really not been tapped into. It's a mission field. That's the word I was looking for. It is a mission field. And if we utilize our tools properly, if we come together and we use the powers for good, I like to say, we can really reach an audience that we wouldn't typically be able to reach in our churches, in our pews. Like, I think it's not a and or, but a but both, right? A both and. Is that the way we say that?
Absolutely, both and. It's important. So some of the chapters, just in general, the book is very user friendly. So it's the perfect book to give to the pastor who says, "Oh no, we can't be on social media. No, Instagram. Oh no, that's where like the teenagers are." And like, it's the person who's tentative, who's unsure, but it's also for the person who says, "Okay, I want to do this, but I need help." Because the book is full of websites you can go to, checklists you can use, how-to tips. It is really, of course, I'm going to say it's a wealth of information, but it truly is.
And I like that word.
It is super, super helpful. So there's a lot of tips about, you know, how do you use technology for ministry and faith building? And then also, again, you brought up the pandemic. So at that point, you know, when you had faith formation or religious education, whatever your parish calls it, okay, how are we going to teach? How are we going to prepare young people and children for sacraments? How are we going to prepare adults who are coming into the church? Well, we had to use a flipped model, right? It had to become more virtual, more online. How do we use that? And then one of the most interesting chapters, which is unique, because it's not something I think people think about often, is the chapter on how to curate digital media. So it's one thing to say to people, either online or offline, "Oh, just go online, you'll find the answer." Mm-mm. Well, yeah, sure, you can find answers, but are they the right answers? Are they upholding the truths of our faith, or are they somebody's opinion? And so when you think about curating, what you're doing is you're putting together the best of what is available, right, and allowing people to access it in that way. So I think that was an important chapter that we added. I did not write that chapter.
That is a very interesting point. Many years ago, I think like 2014, if I'm not mistaken, I was blessed to do a series on Catholic TV on social media evangelization, and in line with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, actually. And one of those was that gift of knowledge, of being prudent and understanding, like, there's a lot of things on the internet. Like, the beauty of having this new mission field is that anyone can have it. At the time, blogs were very hot at the time, back in 2014. So I was, my presentation, I said, the beauty of it is that anyone can have a website. The downfall of it is anyone can have a website. Right. Anybody can be, I don't think people realize that anybody can add to Wikipedia. That is like it's interesting to go there, but that can never be your source of information. I don't think people understand how that works. It's a pretty dangerous place to be getting truth. So understanding safe places, I love that word, curate. It's one of my favorite words when it comes to creating social media and how you interact. Like, I say that about my own Facebook feed. People are like, "I hate Facebook. There's so much junk. junk out there. And I said, but I curate it to be exactly what I want to see and what I don't want to see. And you have that control. But that's another story for another day. We're talking about the information you get. You can't just take everything at face value. You have to discern. I do it very prayerfully because some sites look like they're very good information. There's some very popular Catholic websites that people cite and use all the time. And quite honestly, they're pure evil. And I won't go out and say what they are, but they really are dangerous places to be. So I'm super excited that that's a chapter that was included in this new book. We're talking today again with Deanna Bartolini, and she's sharing with us a new book that she has contributed with to. It's called Digital Ministry and Leadership in Today's Church with Liturgical Press. So we have talked about the general overview of the book, and we have spoken about your favorite chapter or chapter that you're glad that we included. Let's talk about your actual chapter. What is it, Deanna, that you contributed to this great new book?
So I wrote a chapter with a friend of mine who I've taught with in the past, Claudia MacGyver. And the chapter that we wrote together is called Community and Relationship Building in Virtual Spaces. So if you've never met me in real life, but maybe you've seen me in the virtual world or heard me, you might notice that I get very excited and animated when I talk to people live and in person, because I am an extrovert. I am a serious extrovert. And so community and relationship building is all about people. It's all about getting to know people. It's about responding to them. It's about helping them. It's about serving them. And so our chapter talks about how do you do that? Because there's a fallacy that relationships you build online are not real. Mm. And I'm going to use us as an example.
We're a very good example of this, Deanna.
We are, because a couple of weeks ago, I interviewed you on my podcast for your new book. And my husband, such a good guy that he is, he listens on his in his drive to or from work. And he comes home after listening to our episode, and he says to me, but you've met Allison in person, right? I'm like, no, I've never met her in person. He's like, come on, you act as if you've been friends forever. I'm like, we are friends, but we've never met in person. Yeah. I would never say Allison is not my friend, and she would never say that about me, and I know this. And so the relationships you build online are real.
Yes.
They're real.
It's crazy, it's true.
It is. And there's a connection there that we can build on. Because what are people looking for in community? They're looking for relationship. They're looking for honesty. They're looking to be heard, to be seen, to be in a safe place. They're looking to know that they're appreciated and cared for. You can do that online. And that is something, you know, we talk about a lot about in that chapter, of course, is how do you build relationships? And oftentimes, too, thinking about this, we're talking to parish ministers, right? And so the parish minister is almost always also going to have in-person relationship ability with people. So yes, it's about drawing people in that we might not know, but it's also cultivating a relationship with people that we already do know or that we hope to know. And you do that in the same way that you do it in real life. You communicate. So as parish ministers, social media is not a one-way delivery.
Right.
It's not. It's not the announcements at the end of Mass that, you know, the priest gives or a minister gives at the end of Mass, where he just tells you or she tells you what's going on and you need to listen. This is actually a place where you can exchange ideas, have an exchange of dialogue. And we need to engage.
Oh my goodness. I couldn't agree with you more. One of the things that happened personally during the pandemic is that our Bible study, which had always been at my house, but we had moved it for after 15 years, I moved it to the church. I opened it big and wide. It was doing fantastic. And then, you know, everything closed down. So I went virtual. Well, and I was amazed and surprised at how intimate it was still. how vulnerable we were able to be. It was actually easier for some of the women to contribute to the conversation because of the way I set it up, that all the microphones go off, you mute, and when you want to talk, you unmute. And that's a signal to everybody that it's your turn. And for some women who never like feel comfortable jumping in or know when to speak, it opened up for them to be able to share. It was safe, it was easy and accessible. We now stay virtual because in the in that time period, that 2 years, we started to invite people outside of our little area. So we have people from across the country. We have somebody in Louisiana, we have somebody in Georgia, we have someone even in Cape Cod, which is, you know, 45 minutes away. So she's able to join us virtually. And then every now and then we get to actually see her in person, as you're saying, like that balance, that we'll have a women's event and she will come to it. So it was incredible to me how virtual communication is not just one way. If you know how to set it up, as if you know how to manage it prayerfully and correctly, you can be intimate, you can be accessible. And it really is a beautiful way to connect with people that you may not, again, be able to connect with.
Yeah, I think it really is a good tool. And I think that's what we have to remember. These are digital tools. Mm-hmm. They're not the main focus. The main focus is still people. And sometimes it sounds people get hesitant because they're thinking, well, we don't want it to be about, you know, the call or about everybody, you know, wondering about, oh, is their background right? And is this okay? And they're letting you into their home and, oh, you're going to hear their dog barking. Who cares? Like, it's a dog. Who cares?
Or a bird, in my case.
Or the bird, or the baby's crying, or whatever the situation is, right? It's about being accessible and allowing people to experience what we have to offer, the truth of our faith, the beauty of our faith, the goodness of our faith. We can look at social media as a way, in a sense, to infiltrate the culture.
Love that.
Right? That says, let's be nasty and ugly and rude. No, we can be different. You know, we can be an example to people in the social square. Because it's the new gathering space. It really is.
It really is. I like that. I've not heard it called a social square. I don't know how, because that seems like that's something that's out there. But I love the sound of that, that this is our new meeting place, our new, you know, community center, so
yeah,
to speak.
Right.
I love
right.
that.
It is. The other thing that is in the book that's a little bit... No, I don't want to say heavy-handed. It's not heavy-handed. That isn't the right word. But what the book does is the last chapter talks about the leadership qualities, the leadership competencies of digital ministers, and then gives you some questions for personal reflection. And so if I were working in a parish, which I have done, I haven't lately, but if I were working in a parish, mm-hmm. I would want us to study this book as a staff and figure out how we can make this happen. And the other thing I'll say is this: oftentimes in parishes and in organizations, there's this idea that the youngest person on staff or the youth minister should be the one to do social media because, well, they're young, so they must know this stuff, right? You know, in case you're wondering, those of you who are actually watching, these are not put on silver streaks. They are mine. They are real. I said I am a grandmother. And I am not super young. I don't want to think I'm super old. And I know I'm past middle age. But nonetheless.
Not that far.
Not that far. we're digressing. Pick the person who has the skills, who has the interest, who is going to be able to draw people in, because you need to draw people in. And so responding on social media, participating on social media, all of those are important things. And the thing about social media, the two good things about social media is really the same thing. a lot of the things that we put on social media, they go out and they kind of disappear. And that's sort of a good thing and a bad thing, because we don't want everything we do to disappear. But on the other hand, it means that if you make a mistake, people are not going to focus on that, because they're going to see the next thing that you do, and the next thing is going to get better. And when I look back on my own website and my own, like my business, social media, Facebook site and Instagram, and I look back to what I did in the beginning, I'm thinking, what were you doing? And I look at myself now and I think, oh, well, you're doing a much better job. And probably in 3 years, I'll go back to today and go, what was I doing? But that's okay. It's really okay. It's a learning process.
You don't have to be perfect. And I love that you talked about the older person. What we bring is wisdom. Like, my son is in social media and he's just getting into it, because he's in video game social media, which is a little different. But we have great conversations about it, because he has the newer trendy technology that he shares with me and kind of helps me to see, well, what can I try next? But what I have for him is the wisdom of, how do you respond? That spelling is important, whether you think it is or not. Like, how, you know, when to respond, when not to respond. And of course, in our field, what we have to offer is the spirituality, the living, the faith. We've seen our own mistakes, but I think there's such a balance. And I love when a team has that balance of both the younger person that maybe knows the trends, is maybe a little bit more comfortable, but it's not just for that demographic. And I love that the book says that, and I love that you've pointed it out today in our interview, because I think that is something we need to understand, that this isn't going anywhere. This is a beautiful tool, I love that word too, to interact and to be missionaries. Like Saint Therese wanted to be a missionary. She never left the convent. We can be missionaries and never leave our parish or my hovel here in my living room. I find that so wonderful and refreshing and exciting, because I know people are hungry to know the faith. I know they are hungry to know the Lord, and they just, there's a lot of distrust with the church, unfortunately. I think there's a lot of distrust with a lot of organizations and institutions right now in our world. But to understand that at the core of the Catholic Church institution is Jesus Christ, and he is trustworthy. And what he has to say is and bring is hope and peace and joy and all the things we're searching for in all the other different places. And so to bring that voice to social media and kind of break through the yuck now and then is beautiful. And I'm so excited that Liturgical Press and John Roberto have brought, and the whole team, including my friend today, Deanna Bartolini, has brought to us this resource, Digital Ministry and Leadership in Today's Church. And I'm going to be buying a copy for a team that I'm working with in the diocesan level. And as you're talking, I'm thinking, oh, we need this. Of course we need this. So I'm going to be sharing that. So if you think of anybody, your pastor, your parish council, what a great gift to the whole parish council, because we all need these skills, whatever ministry you're in a parish or diocesan, or even personal level, catechetical, even in catechesis, we need this kind of information so we can do it well. Thank you so much, Deanna, for your time today.
I am so happy that I was able to be here, and keep in touch.
So tell us where we can keep in touch with you and where we can purchase Digital Ministry and Leadership in Today's Church.
So the best place to go for Digital Ministry and Leadership in Today's Church would be Liturgical Press, which is litpress.org. So litpress.org. And then if you have any questions, if you want more information, if you want to talk your own personal social media, just go to livenotlukewarm.com, and there's a contact form, and you can email me, and I'll be more than happy to have a conversation with you about how I can help you with your social media in your parish, whatever it is you're looking for help with.
I love that. And of course, we'll have all the links in the show notes. And I will also post them here on our Facebook Live that we have just completed and over on YouTube. We put A Seeking Heart everywhere and anywhere I can stick it. I just found out it was added to Spotify this week, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Very nice.
Oh my goodness. The Lord is a-moving. So thank you again, Deanna, for being with us today.
You're very welcome. Have a great day.
Thank you. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. God bless.
Thank you for listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. Your reviews at your favorite podcast service help this podcast reach others who may be blessed by the content. Please subscribe and share with others. Come back soon for an all-new episode.